Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Is sponsored.
The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome back to the John Frederick Show. This is Mike Rubino, guest hosting for your Godzilla of the Truth. Very excited about the next segment we have. Mercedes Schlapp is joining us. She was Director of Strategic Communications in the White House. She is now the Senior Advisor to the Trump-Pence campaign. Mercedes, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to dive right in. Obviously, the world is in turmoil, but we still have an election in 148 days. So first things first, I saw a new ad come out. It's the Great American Comeback has begun, renewing, restoring, rebuilding. Together, we will make America great again. So talk to me about that message. And, you know, obviously MAGA was a very successful theme in 2016 with the pandemic and everything else that's happened. We're seeing the economy rev to an unbelievable strength so quickly. So talk to us about this new theme.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question this has been an unprecedented year. Obviously, we saw the painful situation through the coronavirus pandemic, and we saw President Trump's bold and decisive leadership during this time to keep Americans safe, to keep Americans healthy, and at the same time in safeguarding our economy. Look, it's been a rough time for all Americans, as we were scared for our loved ones and those who lost loved ones during the pandemic. At the same time, then, of course, we've seen what's happened in the last several weeks with the violent riots, obviously, and the peaceful protests happening as well. And it's a trying time in America, but this is when you need great leadership. And this is when you need decisive leadership. And that's what we've seen under President Trump. And really, when we saw the economic numbers come out this past Friday, where the economy added back 2.5 million jobs in May, that's the largest one-month job gain in U.S. history. It just showed how resilient the American spirit is, how resilient the American economy is, despite the fact that we've seen this pandemic hit our nation. When the president saw those numbers, it was very clear that he had so much hope and optimism in saying, you know, we're going to see the greatest American comeback. This is a moment to renew the American spirit, to restore our communities that are hurting, and to come back and really be in a strong position to get America back on track and get Americans back to work.
Well, earlier in the show, we had Attorney General Jeff Landry from Louisiana, and we had Governor George Allen on the program, and they both discussed, you know, what this American comeback looks like. And earlier, even before that, Matt Maurer was on, and he's running against Chris Pappas in New Hampshire's 1st Congressional District. I think everyone, you know, is on the Trump side of the aisle is, you know, really rallying around this idea that the left wants to defund the police. And all the while, our economy's revving, and they're trying to, you know, focus on issues that really aren't even feasible in America in 2020. So what do you make of Nancy Pelosi and others' call to defund the police?
Look, I think it's dangerous. It's a dangerous proposition to defund the police for any of our communities. I mean, you're talking about making our communities unsafe, Black communities, Hispanic communities. You know, it's very problematic to say that we're going to defund. And you just saw, I mean, it was Mayor de Blasio saying that he's going to take away funds from the NYPD, put those funds into another bucket. And it just really demoralizes the you know, our law enforcement who are trying to protect us from criminals. I mean, look, the problem has become that the action of one bad cop who should have never been a cop. Let's remember, the mayor of that state of Minnesota is Democrat. The governor, Democrat. Down the line, the senators, Democrat. And yet you have these police officers that are rogue police officers. That should not be reflective of the great work that the men and women in uniform do to keep our community safe. And, you know, there's many of these examples across the board in communities where you see the police officers working with the Black communities in community policing to make sure that they're keeping families safe. And so I find that to be a dangerous road to go down. I think for Joe Biden, who is the leader now of the Democrat Party, to basically be part of that group is very problematic for him. I mean, I think Joe Biden has shown that despite the fact that he himself has, you know, was one who supported the 1994 crime bill that led to the mass incarceration of Black men and women and minorities, and never really led on criminal justice reform. That's something the president did, which, of course, we know that mass incarceration damaged Black families across the board, and it led to a lot of destruction within that community. And so now for Joe Biden to come out and try to be the one who is promoting, you know, his agenda, I think it's just very problematic for Joe Biden.
Well, you know, you really dive into the issue there. The First Step Act was a historic landmark occasion for this administration, and you have Kim Kardashian West and you have Alice Marie Johnson. They're all touting what a great reform this was, and it's a reform that was largely predicated on the fact that Joe Biden put forth this bill in 1994, which did incarcerate mass amounts of African Americans. So, you know, looking at that and then looking at the economic issue, I saw a quote from Tim Murtaugh, the director of communications for the campaign, that said that the president does very well against the defined Joe Biden. Would you be able to explain to the listeners exactly what that means, a defined Joe Biden?
Well, I think Joe Biden is very easy to define. Look, he's a career politician, a swamp creature who's been in public office for 40 years and yet has done nothing substantial to impact communities across the board, and especially Black communities. So I think that when you look at Joe Biden, it's very clear. He's a weak leader. He barely can finish off a sentence. His economic policies would be destructive for America. When you're supporting the Green New Deal, when you're supporting tax increases, especially at a time where we got to get our economic, our economy back on track, and we saw it just on Friday with the jobs numbers, but really be able to build a strong economy, Joe Biden has the wrong recipe for that. And then on top of that, you have Joe Biden, who, again, flip-flopped on this whole on supporting the crime bill and then coming out trying to be the supporter of the Black community, where we know that his policies have led to the destruction of these communities. And, you know, it was really President Trump whose leadership has led to significant achievements for the Black community. We saw the lowest unemployment for Black Americans under President Trump. It's going to happen again under President Trump. We saw the permanent funding for HBCUs, the historically Black colleges and universities. We talked about the crime bill. We talked about opportunity zones. This is basically investing money in distressed communities. And so that what we have is a record to show that President Trump has been committed to the Black community, that he's doing what he can to improve the lives of all Americans. Compare that to Joe Biden, who as a career politician has spent more time cozying up to the Chinese than he has in improving the lives of Black Americans and all Americans.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that. And I read a piece in Politico, and it mentioned, you know, the police unions and their take on Joe Biden. And what they've seen is kind of a systematic lurch left from Joe Biden over the decades. And I think you're seeing that, as you mentioned, in the Green New Deal and other things that he was not supportive of that he's now supportive of. And the Democratic primary really took him and moved him very far left. Now, I know that we're not, you know, supposed to speculate, but if you could, do you think that he picks a moderate vice presidential candidate, or do you think that he has to appease that far left part of his party that maybe demands an Elizabeth Warren or someone of that ilk?
I think that the moderate Democrats are extinct. I don't think that there's a such thing anymore of moderate Democrats, because these Democrats have had to embrace the far left agenda. Mm-hmm. It's what we saw with Joe Biden. After he really was, you know, he clinched the nomination this past weekend, but really once it was evident that he was going to be the nominee, the first thing he did was pivot far to the left on the free college agenda.
Yep.
You go, again, on the Green New Deal. I mean, we can go down the list of what he has supported in terms of the radical socialist policies. And so that he's had to do that because he's had to ensure that the far left don't abandon him.
And so, they're the fervent voters, right? I mean, they're the people that actually turn out.
Yeah, that's their base. Their base has turned far to the left, and I think that it's what Joe Biden has had to do in order to make sure that he's able to maintain the base. Look, there's no question the squad is the one that's dictating what's happening in the House of Representatives. And we saw this even during the impeachment time when at first Speaker Pelosi was saying, no, we shouldn't move forward with impeachment. And before we knew it, the squad and the liberal Democrats were like, wait a second, I campaigned on impeaching the president, so you've got to do this. And so it really is very problematic for the Democrat Party, because I do believe that there are less and less of these so-called moderates. So in my opinion, I think whoever he picks is going to be the one of the far left, the open borders, supportive of politician, you know, the person who's going to support the Green New Deal, increasing taxes. I mean, I can go on and on with the list of the Democrat policies, which of course would be damaging to our economy at a moment in time where we need to reopen this economy, get Americans back to work safely and responsibly, and start trying to get back to a normal life, because this because coronavirus has impacted so greatly all of our communities.
So I want to talk about, you know, something that I think is a threat to our communities, a threat to our nation, and that's mail-in voting. And I know that Justin Clark in the campaign is leading, you know, the battle to make sure that there's no fraud. What's being done to protect the integrity of this 2020 election?
Yeah, well, you know, as you know, it's normally the states and the states that basically would make these decisions on how we move forward with voting. What the Democrats have done is that they've spent a lot of time, especially when it comes to these stimulus packages, about trying to include provisions on doing a lot more mail-in voting. The problem with mail-in voting is that you have to ensure that it has the necessary steps to ensure election voter integrity, mm-hmm. To ensure that you do not have voter fraud. And so we've seen, for example, we'll take Texas as an example, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who's been very active in talking about mail-in voting and saying, look, this could be problematic if you don't do it right. If you say, well, you send over a letter, say, request a ballot, and then we send you a ballot, that's better than just saying, here you go, let me just send you the ballot without verifying that you are the correct voter, the right voter, right?
Yeah.
So it is about ensuring that we eliminate voter fraud. We've seen cases of this happen, for example, in Philadelphia, where a judge admitted, you know, he admitted that he was guilty of in dealing with mail-in ballots. We've seen this, for example, as well in Nevada, where they found, I don't even know, hundreds of ballots that were just kind of thrown off to the side there. This is problematic in these states, and it is something that these states need to be actively involved. But here's the deal. If people are peacefully protesting out on the streets and they're barely wearing a mask and they're all put together, the Democrats are worried about social distancing in a precinct? That's outrageous.
It is outrageous.
Be able to go and vote in person if they want to, set up the safeguards to do so, and also if there is absentee ballots, let there be absentee ballots, but do it in a way that ensures voter integrity and election integrity.
Well, you can't have your cake and eat it too, and I think that's what they're attempting to have. You can't go and protest, albeit peacefully, and I think it's great that people are peacefully protesting and making their voices heard. That's what is a cornerstone of our democracy. But you then can't say, well, I actually have to vote from home. I mean, I completely agree with your sentiment. Now, as someone who worked on the 2016 campaign, I know that, you know, this silent majority exists. I think that a lot of the listeners here on the John Fredericks Radio Show are part of that majority. I want to talk about, you know, just metrics and numbers. I know that this campaign has raised a prolific amount of money. It's a huge testament to the president, to the organization that you've built. So tell me about what's going on in the campaign. I saw Jason Miller joined back on as a senior advisor. Congratulations for that. I know that you have a phenomenal team that's deployed throughout the state. So what about doors knocked, calls, voter contacts, money raised? Tell us about what's going on in this campaign, something that we can all hang our hats on and get excited about.
Well, I got to tell you something. First of all, since mid-March, just think about it, we pretty much had to close up our physical location. So under Brad Parscale, our campaign manager, we quickly shifted into a virtual campaign. We launched Team Trump Online, which is 7 days a week programming on our all of our social media platforms. We're getting about 2 million views a night. Just think about that.
Wow.
CNN and MSNBC can't compete with us on those numbers. And it's fresh content, fabulous guests, and an opportunity to talk about the president's record and also talk about Joe Biden and his weak leadership as we get through this election. The shows are very unique. We have different series like Faith in America, Promises Made, Promises Kept. We started The Right View, which is the women's show with Laura Trump, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Katrina Pearson, and myself. It's a counter to The View. Because as we know, The View is very much they're very left-leaning and spokespeople for the Biden campaign. So we launched our own, and that's every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. And Don Jr. has his own show, Triggered, which is just a blast to watch. So we've really developed some original content there and reaching our grassroots, expanding our voter base. And so in addition to that, obviously, we've raised an enormous amount of money every single month, I have to say, and a lot of it comes from small dollar numbers as well. There's huge enthusiasm for this president. And look, people have gone through tough financial times, but they understand that our country's in a critical moment and that President Trump needs to get reelected to ensure that we're able to survive and get through this pandemic and get this economy going again. And also to heal this nation during this time, because it's a tough period of time for our communities. And we need to make sure that we're, you know, if Vice President was talking about racial reconciliation last Friday, meeting with black pastors, and we want to continue to have those discussions. It's an important national dialogue to have at this time as well. And then in making calls, I mean, we've passed the 10 million mark, I think, just even since mid-March, again, making phone calls. We've gotten people who have been sitting at home wanting to get involved, going to armyfortrump.com, helping us make phone calls. And really, it is this, we are, talk about 2016. I love when Brad says this. He says, we were literally building the plane in the air and we had to land it.
Yep.
This time around, we've got a jet, and it's very sophisticated, very organized, we're very well prepared. We have invested in key states. I take the example of Maine, for example. In 2016, we didn't have anyone on the ground, maybe one person on the ground. You know, we have a number of resources in Maine right now and an active grassroots organization there. So it's really been, it's a very bottom-up approach in ensuring that the states have the resources they need to get out the vote, to make the phone calls, to persuade people who are on the sidelines, and get the president reelected in November.
Well, with our last 2 minutes here, the Democrats always talk about how they're on offense, but what do you see as our offensive opportunities? Is it New Mexico? Is it Colorado? Is it Minnesota? Where do you see opportunities for the president to, you know, flip a state that previously went for Hillary Clinton?
Look, I think when we looked at last time, I mean, we lost, for example, New Hampshire by about 2,700 votes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have these very gettable states, and you know, you can look at the electoral map, and there's going to be different formulas for these different states depending on which pathway we can go. But there's obviously the ones that we obviously must win. You know, it's like the Floridas, the North Carolinas. You know, we're playing obviously very hard in Pennsylvania. Ohio looks really good right now. So I think our goal is, you know, we've got our list of our targeted states. We're going to keep investing in those states. You know, you can match them up with different formulas to get the winning number. And I think last time it just showed 2016 that it was very much, as you said, the silent majority that came out and brought the president, you know, Democrats basically voting for President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You have independents who normally also might not vote Republican, but they said, you know, I'm voting with President Trump this time around. So it is about not just the Republican vote, which we know Republicans are hugely enthusiastic about the president, but continuing to work with Democrats who are looking at their party fall apart and see a very weak candidate in Joe Biden and know that, it is President Trump, for example, who's going to protect their energy jobs in states like Pennsylvania, in states like Ohio, and Texas as well, and know that the president stands with them in building a strong economy and being the voice for the American worker.
Well, everything you said could not be more spot on. With our last 30 seconds here, how can people get involved? Where can they go watch your show? Where can they donate?
Yeah, well, to watch the show, the shows, it's at DonaldJTrump.com or go to any of our social media platforms. Also, you can download the Trump app. It's a fabulous way to stay involved and connected. You'll get updates on events. We're going to be back on the road likely by July. So we're going to go to, you know, to a town near, you know, to a town near you. And also you can get text through 88022. You just text Trump at 88022 to be able to get this updated information on what's happening on the campaign, or go to armyfortrump.com. Great way to volunteer. We're going to need everyone to come out and support this president. Look, these are trying times, but we also have to stay focused on the mission, which is that of reelecting President Trump, so we can have 4 more years of prosperity, 4 more years of peace, and 4 more years of ensuring that America stays in a strong position, America first, and also ensuring that as families, we're able to prosper and grow and keep our community safe.
Well, Mercedes, thank you so much for coming on. If you see Ashley McCarthy or Laura, tell them I say hi. And
you know what? They were living with me during the during the riots in D.C. So.
Look at you. Well, thank you so much.
I will.
Have a good one. This is Mike Rubino, guest hosting the John Fredericks Radio Show.
You're listening to the John Fredericks Show. Common sense for the commonwealth. Online anytime at thejohnfredericksshow.com.
June 13th, 1971. The New York Times begins publishing the Pentagon Papers, a leaked top-secret study of America's involvement in Vietnam. President Richard Nixon's administration tries to block further publication in court, citing national security. Defense Secretary Melvin Laird.
It is our responsibility to call these violations of security to the attention of the Justice Department. This I have done.
But the U.S. Supreme Court rules the Times and the Washington Post can publish the material. 1967. President Lyndon Johnson nominates Solicitor General Thurgood Marshall to be the first black justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. 1966. The case behind the phrase, "You have the right to remain silent," as the U.S. Supreme Court issues its Miranda ruling. The landmark decision says criminal suspects must be informed of their constitutional rights before police can question them. 1900. In China, the Boxer Rebellion. A nationalist revolt targeting foreigners as well as Chinese Christians erupts into full-scale violence. 1983. Pioneer 10 becomes the first spacecraft to leave our solar system as the American space probe crosses the orbit of Neptune. And 1986. Benny Goodman, the clarinet playing King of Swing, dies in New York. He was 77. Today in history, June 13th, Tim McGuire, the Associated Press.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBO.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. Police video from the fatal shooting of a black man after a failed sobriety check in Atlanta shows a largely peaceful encounter that lasts 40 minutes before spiraling into violence. Rashard Brooks was shot by officers outside a Wendy's restaurant. The average U.S. price of regular grade gasoline rose 11 cents over the past 2 weeks to $2.16 per gallon. Industry analyst Trilby Lundberg says the jump came as crude oil costs increased. Authorities have arrested a Colorado man they say held two roofing company salesmen at a gunpoint who had been knocking on doors in his neighborhood. Police told KUSA-TV that both salesmen were wearing blue polo shirts with a local roofing company logo when Scott Gunmanson forced them to the ground on Thursday. And a man accused of being a senior lieutenant in the Sinaloa drug cartel has been extradited to the United States. More details at SRNnews.com.
So, how are you? Really? Larry Yilda here. I mean, it's important. We've all been inundated by information, some good, some bad, some believable, some not. But how are you? Have you been exposed to COVID-19? You see, getting proper rest can be paramount in staying healthy. So I wear the new Circle ring on my finger at night to listen to my body. The Circle shares my sleep patterns and my oxygen levels. A decrease in oxygen levels in my blood can be one of the earliest indicators that my body is fighting a virus like COVID-19. The Circle provides this type of vital data allowing me to make decisions and seek medical counsel ASAP. How did I sleep? By wearing the Circle ring, I have the story my body wants to tell. This might alert me to a health issue and encourage me to seek medical direction. Knowing my body's story allows me to make intelligent and healthier routine changes. So, how are you? Find out like I did at bodymetrics.com, BODIMetrics.com, and be sure and use promo.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
There will be a 60% chance of rain through tonight, mostly high this afternoon, 82, overnight low near 70. That rain will continue with about a 20% chance. Looking for mostly sunny skies during the day with highs into the upper 80s. Partly cloudy nights down to about 72.
There is injustice in our country.
There's injustice. It's not new.
It's not new.
We've heard about it before.
Some have just found it easier to set it aside than to deal with it.
Now is the time to deal with it.
Every person is created by God,
loved by God, and precious to God.
Every person deserves to be treated humanely and fairly.
I pledge to stand for those who are being treated unjustly.
I pledge to vote for those who stand for justice and respect for all people.
I pledge to treat all others as I wish to be treated.
We are a diverse group of people.
We don't all look the same, sound the same, or think the same.
We're all part of Jacksonville.radio, a diverse group of radio stations reaching a diverse group of listeners.
But we are one.
But we are one.
But we are one.
We are united.
We are unified. And we are strong.
And we are strong.
And we are strong.
And we are strong.
Hey, everybody, have a good weekend. It's your morning show host, Ed Dean, along with my man, Roger Henderson. Join us Monday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here, Talk Radio WBOB. Also in the morning show coming up Monday, the RNC convention is coming here, but those in other sides of the community say, we don't want them showing up, Roger.
Can't imagine why. Hundreds of millions of dollars in economic impact, plus great PR for the city.
And great interviews for all of us on radio. We'll have this ready to go, starting off a brand new week. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Monday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., Talk Radio WBOB.
Follow John Fredericks at JF Radio Show.
Adrian in RVA. Adrian, you're on the line. Hey, Adrian, guess what? If you go out to dinner in Richmond on Friday, your governor, Lamar Stoney, your mayor, LeVar Stoney, who's also running for governor, he's going to be opening outside restaurants on Friday. That's the good news. You have to give them your credit card. I guess they don't take cash. But here's the thing, Adrian. You also have to get, in order to get served, get this. You have to give the restaurant your full identification for the purpose of tracing you later. So if you want to get a beer and sit outside, you have to give them your credit card. your full name, your ID, your driver's license, which they will copy so that they can trace you later and, I guess, give that to the Chinese. What do you think of that, Adrian?
You don't want me to say what I really think about it, but
I want you to say it without bad language.
It's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And if anybody does this, they are just as dumb. It's gotten to the point now that independents and Democrats need to wake up, and even Republicans need to wake up. Like we talked about this yesterday, there's nobody fighting back. There's nobody asking questions. You're in New Jersey. I cannot believe people are not in front of the governor's mansion and office saying, "Hey, what are you thinking? Firing? Saying I'm threatening the president? I'm going to fire cops, firemen, EMS workers, first responders." How stupid has our country gotten? And I mean that. I feel like I'm living in a twilight zone right now. Look, man, we had a pandemic. We took precautions. Everybody abided by them. Even you did, you know, and I did too. And I'm a gung-ho American one, USA, 100% red, white, and blue. I bleed it every day. But now that there's enough science and enough facts proven that this is not what it was. This is not what they put up to be. What they propaganda put up, but now you're telling me you want my ID? I would not support this, and I would not go out to eat. I never really go out to eat because I cook for a long time, really, so I cook for myself. But I really wanted to go out and support the city, support the state, and go out maybe two or three times a week for a month or so, and just kind of help out those that are in need. But now you want my ID? Exactly for what do you need my ID for? Did he say why?
Contact tracing. See, so what they want is the governor's hiring 1,300 contact tracers. Now, what they want to do is, let's say you go to a restaurant. Let's pick a restaurant. You eat outside. Just pick one. What's my favorite one that I go to there? I forget. I just can't remember. It's way
up. Okay, I'll tell you one. East Coast Provisions has a nice patio. So East Coast Provisions on Perry Street.
Right. Great place. So you go to East Coast Provisions. Okay, so you got to give your license. They'll make a copy of it. Let's say in a week somebody is tested and they have COVID-19. Then they have to give all the people all the places they went. So they were like, yeah, I was at that restaurant on this day. Then they look it up, that 2 weeks you've been there. Now you got a contact tracer banging on your door. They want to know, they want to take your temperature. They want to come in your home. They want to test your children. They want to test your wife. And if you don't let them, and here's the other thing, you have to be quarantined. So if you're working, forget it, you're down 2 weeks. And if you have two kids in one bathroom, they have the authority to take your children. Now, I'm not making this up, Adrian. They have the authority to take your kids to DFACS because you got one bathroom. They will take your kids right out of your house. That is what these contact tracers are.
I'll tell you what. There'll be a lot of slugs going through the door. I'll have to call a contractor to replace a lot of slugs. I'm telling you that right now. And that's a promise to anybody touching my son. That's a goddamn promise. But let me tell you this as well. Hey, while I give you my ID, do you want to steal my identity too? You know, because like I told you before, I've worked in the industry for 21 years. You think you honestly want me to tell you that everybody in that industry is honest and legit and care about other people? 50% of them maybe do. Maybe 25% of them do. I'm going to tell you that from the upfront. So the moment you give your ID out, guess what? Get ready for your identity to be stolen. Get ready for something to go wrong. This is a stupid. Anybody can break into one of these restaurants, get in there, and it happens all the time. And I'm saying it happens all the time. They steal money. People get broken into all the time.
Well, then they've got your credit card and your ID and your address and your zip code. They can do whatever they want. Jeremy.
I'm sorry.
Hang on. Jeremy from Chesapeake texts and he says, we have to give IDs to get food, but we don't need an ID to vote. It's like, you got to be kidding me. You can vote without an ID, but in order to get a hamburger, you need to give an ID. Now, tell me that makes sense, Mike.
Now, you've been saying this for over 2 years. I've been listening for
only
2 years now, and you're very welcome. I really love your show. I love your input. That's why I listen and I call in, because you give it straight, and I appreciate that. But yeah, exactly. So this is what I'm talking about, how stupid we've gotten. And I mean that. And you know what? We vote these idiots in, so we deserve what we get. And
that's
I've said this to you before, and we deserve what we get. So now you can have anybody vote, but yet you got to give your ID to get a cheeseburger? Get the hell out of here, John.
I mean, you got to be kidding me, man. The only way you do this is by fighting back. And I'm telling you, if we sit around, you know, when I came here, I'm going to say it again for the 10th time. I came here 10 years ago. Oh, Virginia, Virginia Way, Madison, Jefferson, this, that, Washington, Monroe, all the Virginia Way, everybody, Virginia Freedom. Virginia is not for lovers, it's for wussies, okay? Because everybody sits around, takes it up the shorts and says, okay, governor, here, I'll put on a mask. Okay, governor, here, I'll give you my ID. Okay, governor, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Jeremy in Chesapeake says it's a test run for registry and confiscation. No kidding, Jeremy. This whole thing is set up at the end of the day, just like they tried to do in this General Assembly, and what the governor is going to try to do in the summer. This whole thing is set up to bang on your door. They know who you are. They're going to take your guns. If you don't think this is what this is set up for, I don't know what planet you're on. All right, I got to get to another caller. Let me say one other thing, Adrian. Colonel Mike says, come and have dinner in West Virginia. No ID for a cheeseburger needed. All right, that's I'll see you, man. Hang in there, Adrian.
Welcome back to the John Fredericks Radio Show. This is Mike Rubino, guest hosting for John Fredericks. We are trucking the truth across Virginia and the nation. I want to welcome our next guest, Matt Mowers. I've known Matt for a long time. Matt, how are you this morning?
Mike, I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day in the Granite State up here.
Excellent. Well, Matt, you are running for Congress against a Pelosi shill. So why don't you tell us how the race is going and how people can get involved?
Sure. Well, the race is going great. So, you know, we launched this campaign in the middle of January. No one could have predicted how the world would change in the past 5 months. But the one thing that's remained consistent is that my opponent, Chris Pappas, has still been one of Nancy Pelosi's number one proxy votes since the moment he got to Congress. It doesn't matter what type of radical leftist idea that they pushed down to that Congress, Chris Pappas has been there every single step of the way. You know, he votes with Pelosi 100% of the time. He votes with AOC 95% of the time. And that just doesn't represent us, the live for your die state. So we've been really encouraged. You know, we've had a lot of momentum. You know, Kevin McCarthy just endorsed our campaign last week. You know, Corey Lewandowski has endorsed our campaign. You know, the president tweeted about our race on Easter Sunday. So if folks are interested in getting involved or learning more, they can go to www.mattmowers.com. That's MATTMOWERS.com. And we'd love to get them involved.
Well, Matt, let me just sing your praises for a second. You were senior White House advisor at the State Department. You worked with Ambassador Deborah Birx. I knew you from the campaign. You worked with Governor Christie before that. I mean, you are a Trump guy through and through, so I know all of our listeners, you know, should be eager to engage. But, Matt, you mentioned that there's been so many things that, you know, have occurred within this country over the last couple months, whether it be coronavirus or George Floyd. What do you make of, first, the defund police stuff? I mean, where is Congressman Pappas on this notion of defunding the police? I know the Granite State is proud of their, you know, their police tradition. They're all real true Americans. So what do you make of that?
Yeah, we're going to ask Chris Pappas, and we're actually going to ask him today where he stands on this, because I just think this is another reckless idea. You know, look, let's not forget that it was just about 3 weeks ago that Nancy Pelosi had every single Democrat just about in Congress, including Chris Pappas, vote for a bill that would actually fund release of violent criminals early from their terms because of coronavirus. Yet now we have a bunch of the same Democrats saying that they want to defund the police. So they're funding early release of violent criminals, but they're defunding the police. I mean, this is just radical, Mike. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the type of stuff that, you know, used to be cartoonish when it was said, and now it's exactly what the Pelosi Congress is doing down in Washington, D.C. And you know, Chris Pappas has been part of that every single step of the way. So we're going to ask him today to stand with us, with our law enforcement officers, and oppose this defund the police movement that's afoot right now. You know, we called Chris Pappas out on Friday, saying that he has not condemned the rioters because he hasn't. You know, look, I think all of us agree that we need to, you know, make some reforms in different police departments around the country where you are seeing problems. But the fact of the matter remains that these police officers, vast majority of them, are putting their lives on the line every single day. And they need to know that the people in office have their back. I mean, police turnover right now is at some of its highest rates in American history. And that's because a lot of the police don't feel like they're respected. They don't feel like anyone's looking out for them. And they put a lot on the line. You know, we ask a lot of folks in uniform, whether it be in the military or in law enforcement, every single day. And they're not getting the respect. They're not getting the health care they need. They're not getting a lot of the things that society needs to provide them, which first and foremost is making sure that we have their back.
Well, you look at the Minneapolis mayor. He was booed outside of his home for not defunding the police. So it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't. But, you know, moving on, this bill that you mentioned, I believe it was $3 trillion that...
$3 trillion. It's remarkable, right?
Yeah, so what was in that bill? What was it jam-packed with that Congressman Pappas decided was a good idea to vote yes on?
Yeah, well, let's start off the fact that they allowed for proxy voting around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you have members of Congress now that abdicated the responsibility to even show up and vote. I mean, like, literally, it's the only thing they're being paid to do, right?
Yep.
These members of Congress are literally receiving a paycheck, a pretty nice size one, by the way, to show up and vote on behalf of their constituents. And now they're even mailing that in, let alone what they actually voted for. So you look at that bill and you break it apart. It was $3 trillion. And you had money going out the wazoo. I mean, look, I see it this way. COVID-19 impacted America, it impacted the world. It's a time that should be able to bring us all together. And Pelosi, Pappas, and that Congress has done nothing but try to divide us. And so they jammed it through with a bunch of left-wing wish list items, including funding for early release of violent prisoners, like we talked about,
mm-hmm.
stimulus checks for illegal immigrants instead of money that could have gone towards small businesses and working families who've been affected by COVID-19. You know, looked at money for National Endowment of Humanities, a whole host of left-wing programs, again, to the tune of $3 trillion. And so I just don't think that's representative of what we need at this time. You know, we should be focusing on how do we get our economy back on track? How do we bring small businesses back? How do we actually make sure that small businesses have allies down Washington, D.C., who are trying to work with them through this, you know, economic challenge that they're in right now? Instead, what you've got is this left-wing partisan Congress led by Nancy Pelosi and supported by people like Chris Pappas who are voting for none of that.
Well, let's talk about, you know, jobs in the market. The U.S. futures market this morning is up 900 points. The S&P is up 5 points. So, you know, the president's going to be running on renewing, restoring, rebuilding. He's going to be talking about the great American comeback. When you make it to Congress, what do you see as the great American Congress? What are you running on? What can you tell people that you want to do for your constituents?
Yeah, look, Mike, we have to make sure, first and foremost, that our next Congress, as well as the president's second term, is laser-focused on the economy and bringing it back. We've done it once. I am confident we can do it again. And what we're going to have to do is, you know, make sure that we're there for businesses that are disproportionately affected by government shutdowns because of COVID-19. So restaurants and hospitality come to mind. But then also making sure that we get back to incentivizing businesses to grow and prosper. I think we have a really remarkable moment here. I think Americans are ready to actually bring a lot of manufacturing back from China and bring it onshore here in America. And so I think we need a real Made in America economic program, which is going to encourage manufacturing here in the United States. It'll be good for American workers, but just as importantly, it'll be good for American national security, because a lot of that will be pharmaceutical ingredients and high-tech national defense equipment and things like that, which we should be building here in America. It's so I'm really excited about that. I think it's a real opportunity for us as Americans. I know New Hampshire is going to try to be on the forefront of getting some of those businesses to bring their manufacturing from other countries back to American shores.
Well, we have Governor Allen coming up on the show in the next half hour, and he's actually going to be discussing exactly what you mentioned. So the Trump administration, led by Peter Navarro in particular, awarded a BARDA contract to Flow Pharmaceuticals. It was about 2 weeks ago for, I think, $354 million. And that was actually to produce generic drugs and their components here in the United States, something that was largely done and domiciled in India and China before that. So what you're mentioning is something that I think the administration is taking a very proactive stance on, but it's not something that the Congress has taken a very proactive stance. So here in the last couple of minutes, why don't you exactly explain what made you get into this race and what you've seen out of Congressman Pappas specifically that that makes him so bad, right? You mentioned 95% or 90% he votes with AOC, 100% with Pelosi. What has he taken a stand on? Has he led on anything?
Yeah, well, Mike, I decided to get him because I really became frustrated by what I saw as a year of this Pelosi Congress. It really wasn't until January when all of a sudden I just said enough is enough. I mean, Chris Pappas, by the way, is the first Democrat in the country from a Trump district, because our district voted for President Trump in 2016. He's the first Democrat from a Trump district to support the impeachment process. The first one. He came out in favor of the impeachment process last July. So what that told me was that this guy is so partisan and so opposed to our president and so opposed to trying to make any sort of progress for our country that he's willing to support impeachment at any place, at any time, for any purpose. And then you see what he's continued to do when he marches lockstep with Nancy Pelosi every step of the way. I mean, this guy is just a partisan Pelosi puppet. That is all Chris Pappas is. And so I think we need to replace him. I think we need to send a member of Congress to Washington, D.C., who's going to represent New Hampshire and not Nancy Pelosi. And so that's the commitment I've made to Granite State voters. And it's the one that we're seeing a lot of receptivity to. I mean, you know, whether it was through Zoom sessions and virtually the past few months or now as we're beginning to get back to in-person meetings and events, people are ready for a change. They're ready for Congress to do things, and they're ready for Congress that's going to put America first, not just Nancy Pelosi's left-wing wish list first.
So, you know, you mentioned it's been a lot of Zoom. Obviously, we've all been suffering through the coronavirus pandemic. But what are you seeing in your phone calls? What are you seeing? What are the constituents saying? Obviously, you can't do doors quite yet, but what has been the receptivity to your message? What have you noticed? When is your primary? And then finally, how can people donate? How can people get you into Congress and vote out, as I called him earlier, Pelosi Show?
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, people want to get involved in getting Chris Pappas, who's Nancy Pelosi's number one proxy vote, out of Congress. They can go to, again, mattmowers.com. It's www.mattmowers.com. And I've got to tell you, we've had a lot of folks throughout the district. Every time we go to a new diner or every time I get off the phone with another constituent, you know, they're jumping online to get involved in the campaign, because what they're telling me is that they're ready for someone who's going to be show that independence, show that conservative leadership that's been so desperately lacking out of Congress the past year. And they're ready for people who are actually going to go down there and actually try to get something done by working with the president to build the wall. Because I've got to tell you, we've got a drug addiction problem in our state. There's an influx of illegal drugs coming into our state that largely comes, and I learned this in my experience at the State Department working under President Trump. There's an influx of illegal drugs coming from Mexico and South America, as well as through the mail in China. So we need people who are going to work with the president to stop the influx of illegal drugs and actually build the wall. We're actually going to work with him to lower prescription drug prices. We're going to work with the president to hold China accountable and bring manufacturing back to America. And so those are the types of issues I'm hearing about when I talk to constituents and voters. And it's the type of thing I'm going to deliver on when I get to Congress.
Well, Matt, I just donated $20 to your campaign, and here's what I'm going to challenge our listeners to do. If you tweet at me, at MikeRubino1991, I will match your donation of $20 until, you know, I cannot give any more. So if you want to, donate to Matt Mowers, mattmowers.com, and then tweet at me, at MikeRubino1991. I will match your donation to Matt Mowers. So I just gave $20. I encourage everybody to give $20. It's time to step up and vote out people that vote lock, stop, and barrel for Nancy Pelosi with Nancy Pelosi, because I think that we as Americans respect independent minds, and that's what Matt's offering to bring to the Congress. He also, you know, as you just said, Matt, you're going to help the president advance the agenda that, you know, suits the Granite State and suits the American people.
Yeah, well, Mike, I really appreciate that contribution and really appreciate anyone else who supports. And thanks for making that generous offer, by the way. I hope everyone takes you up on it because it's going to take – this is a national election at the end of the day, Mike, because you're exactly right. This is an election about do we want Nancy Pelosi? When President Trump's giving the State of the Union address next February, do we want Nancy Pelosi standing behind him tearing up another copy of the State of the Union? And if the answer is no – and if you're like me or your listeners are like me and you can't stomach the idea of Nancy Pelosi standing up there this time next year, we need to take back Congress. And that runs through districts like this in New Hampshire.
Well, one more segment for you, Matt. And that's I want to just get to China really fast. So on China, obviously they're facing what is an economic downturn based on the virus that was of their doing. What do you make of it? Where would you stand as a congressman against China? And what do you make of what the administration's done thus far? We just mentioned Peter Navarro and Flow Pharmaceuticals. So what do you make of it?
Yeah, well, look, I've got to tell you. So I worked at the State Department for 2 years under President Trump. Traveled about 200,000 miles around the world. Focused actually on a lot of global health issues. You know, so we took on and fought another pandemic, which was our global HIV pandemic. And what I saw firsthand was China using bags of cash to buy influence around the world. You know, whether it was in sub-Saharan Africa, whether it was at the World Health Organization, where I was at on a regular basis for meetings and saw firsthand how they bought influence in that organization. And the president was right to cut off funding to the WHO. What I make of it now is we need to use this as an opportunity to understand that we have way too much reliance on China, whether it's their investment in our financial services, whether it's the manufacturing that occurs in China, and that this is a moment when we need to actually look inward and we need to ensure that ensuring that our supply chain is not beholden to China, but it's actually controlled by Americans and American companies made by American workers. And we cannot, let's not forget that China is not looking out for the interests of its own people, let alone the interests of other countries. I mean, this is a country which currently has 1 million religious minorities being held in camps in China. This is a country where you have Buddhist monks setting themselves on fire in protest because they don't have the right to practice their religious beliefs. This is a country that doesn't even allow the Catholic Church to choose its own bishops, not to mention the fact that they're backing a whole host of companies with public dollars, which are now participating in commercialized spying, essentially, such as what's happening with Huawei. So these are not good actors, and it's a time that we hold China accountable, not just for what they've done to contribute to the spread of COVID-19, which has now been well documented, but also because this is not a country that's looking out for our best interests. We're much better off ensuring that we have American-made materials and that we then use that to work with our allies around the world to spread American ideas and American companies as well.
Well, you heard it here, folks. You heard it here first, folks. Matt Mowers, candidate for Congress in New Hampshire's 1st Congressional District. Matt, thank you so much for joining me today.
Mike, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it, and hope all is well.
You're listening to The John Frederick Show. Common sense for the commonwealth. On great radio stations across Virginia and online anytime at thejohnfrederickshow.com.